Now what's wrong? God is good. Praise God. Okay. The board needs to get together right after church. So the board don't get too bored because you got to be here after the meeting. God's awesome all the time. How many know that it's really getting close to Jesus coming back? We talk about it all the time. But, you know, it's getting closer and closer and closer. It reminds me of this story I heard. There was a priest and a rabbi from local parishes. They were standing by the side of the road holding up signs. The rabbis read, "The end is near." The priest on the other side of the road held up a sign that said, "Turn before it's too late." They planned to hold their signs up to each passing car. And the cars went by, and one car went by and said, "Get a job," the first driver yelled. The second immediately behind the first yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious freaks." Shortly, from around the curve, they heard screeching tires and a splash, followed by more screeching tires and another splash. The rabbi looked over at his companion and said, "Do you think we should try a different sign?" Like the other man responded, "Yeah, like perhaps bridge out." Yeah, the end is near. Today we're going to be talking about that. It's really kind of an awesome thing. I have people ask me all the time, "Do you think it's coming?" Whether I think so or not, it's coming. Not it's coming, he's coming. The end of time is coming and he's coming. Amen. God is going to be here sure as I am 5 foot tall. And you know I'm more than 5 foot tall. Amen. Get your Bibles out to Luke 21. Luke 21. Stand for the reading of the word. Luke 21. They're asking Jesus, here's Jesus, it's his last days on earth. And while he's on his last days on earth, they begin to see some things and they begin to wonder about it. So I'm going to read this to you. And then I'm going to step aside for a minute. God's awesome. Isn't God awesome? Luke 21, verse 5. "And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things, which behold, the days will come when there shall not be one left stone upon another, then shall not be thrown down. Praise God. And they ask him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be, and what shall be that be?" I just washed my teeth and I can't do a thing with them. And he asked him, saying, "Master, when shall these things be, and what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass?" And he said, "Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear wars and commotions or unrest, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, that nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what shall you answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends, and some of you shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair on your head perish. Now that word perish does not mean you're not going to have trouble. In fact, that word perish does not mean that you're not going to die. That word perish means that you will not spend eternity in hell. That's what that word means. It means that your body, even though you may lose it down here, you're going to gain a greater reward. Amen? But God will protect you while you are here before anything like that should happen. In your patience, possess ye your soul. And when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, are we seeing that now? Know that the desolation thereof is nigh. It's even talking about it's going to get worse. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. And I trust you, Lord, to work a miracle in our midst this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, good brother, there you go. Yes, sir. Right here. Check. Don, this might work. Okay, go ahead. That's fine. Use it. I use it. Just don't fall off of it. There you go. Thank you.
the rapture took place.
Awesome. Awesome. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. What if? And that's a good question. What if it was tonight? You know, people tell me all the time, they do like this. They go, well, the Bible hasn't fulfilled itself. I'm going to have to tell you something. Might kind of upset you right now. But do you know there is definitely not one biblical prophecy left that needs to be fulfilled before the rapture? Not one. And remember, we're going to be talking about this today. When you see these things, that what I want you not to do is to get confused with the rapture and the second coming. Because what it is that's the day of the Lord. I'm going to talk about it. But the day of the Lord is a series of events. Not one day, it's a series of events. It starts with the rapture, and then goes through 7 years of tribulation. Then it's the second coming of Jesus Christ. When he comes back, the first time he does not touch the earth, we go to him. The second time he comes back with us, take care of business with the devil, and then we rule and reign for 1,000 years. Let's just go through this a little bit. I like that. What if? Let me ask you a question. What promise is given over 300 times in the New Testament? Anybody want to guess? I mean, the pictures there might help you. You see those two pictures? Look, watch this. There's picture one, and here comes picture two. Amen. One is the rapture. The other is his coming on a white horse with his vesture dipped in blood. What are we talking about? Listen. 300 times, over 300 times in the New Testament, the promise of the return of Christ. Now, and I want y'all to listen carefully about this, because see, the Bible doesn't give us all the specifics. You say, well, I want to know pinpoint, whenever, however. If you just give me, I'm an analytical thinker, I need to know everything. If I knew everything, then I'd go ahead and get ready. I personally am an analytical thinker. I used to think that way, and then I realized something about that. And it's very clear, is just like the angel told Daniel, I want you to seal this stuff up and concerning the visions I've given you, and it will be revealed in the last days. Some of this stuff has not even been revealed yet. There's more things coming than you ever could imagine, and we're going to see Bible prophecy coming to pass quicker than ever. Bible prophecy is actually like seeing through a glass darkly. You see something, and it might take a while. Then you might see something coming again. Who would have even thought about 666? What's 666? What could it be? 666, now we all know that you can put a barcode or even implant a chip. I've got a dog. My dogs have chips in them. I've got two dogs. That's why they moan all the time. They got chips on their shoulder. All right. Okay. So if we need to get to them, all they got to do is if our dog gets lost, the people know to go scan the chip, and it's got my name, and it's got Linda's name, and it's got the dog's name. Doesn't even need a collar because you got the chip, but we still have a collar so people will know that it belongs to somebody and it's being taken care of. But it's one fact for clear, it's absolutely positive, is that Jesus is going to return to earth again. He's going to return visibly, he's going to return literally, and he's going to return victoriously. Jesus, come on, somebody give the hand clap of praise. Jesus is coming again. And Russia and Korea and Iraq and Iran and Saudi Arabia and all those places will not be able to stop what God is going to do. Praise the Lamb of God. God is in total control. Amen. So now let's just go a little. I'm going to try to be kind of quick with this today. Now, like I said, kind of. Somebody say kind of. Y'all know what kind of means. Okay. Okay, here we go. So watch this now. Now, Jesus is going to return. Now, this was the last week of his ministry. And he's pointing to the people. He's telling them they were looking at the temple. And he said, tear the temple down. It'll be raised again in 3 days. Talking about his temple. And as he's talking about all these things, people start asking, what's the signs of your return? And so in Luke 21, he actually takes two subjects. The first subject is he's talking about AD 70, and he's talking about when the temple is going to be destroyed. And then the second time he's talking about when the temple will be destroyed in the last days, or when the temple is going to be under attack before his return the second time. Not the rapture, but the second coming. So this is a little kind of, gets a little shaky if you're not sitting back thinking and reading and looking how everything is. So now the desolation or the destruction of Jerusalem, well, it was only a foreshadowing of what greater things of suffering were going to come for the Jews. How many know the Jews have suffered a lot? I mean, a lot. Think about the Holocaust. Think about now. You know, it's not just Jews, but Christians themselves. You can go in Iraq, and down there will be people by the hundreds being crucified. We think that was just back in Jesus' day. It's happening today. There's probably, I guarantee you, somewhere all over the world, there's people being crucified for Jesus today. There's people losing their heads for Jesus today. So now at the end of tribulation, Jesus is going to return along with us who are already in heaven because of the rapture and because of those who's already died and gone on to rule and reign with Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I just want you to remember, there is definitely a difference between the rapture and the second coming, but it's all part of a 7-year process called the Day of the Lord. So now I've noticed in these last days, and I'm going to try to be quick about this. If I'm not, please forgive me. Wouldn't it be nice if you're saying, when this thing's going to end, all of a sudden you hear a trumpet and we're gone? Wouldn't it be awesome? Amen. So there's widespread interest now about the end of days. You see it all the time. You see it as there's a big thing about the occults. There's something always about the occults. There's something always about the outer limits, so to speak. And it's also about Jesus' return. And so what are the signs of his return? He says it right here. Matter of fact, it's pretty cut and dry. And so we're just going to go through the cut and dry. And hopefully, if you're taking notes, write them down. If you're not taking notes, but you'd like a copy of this, you can get a copy of this to go along with it. The very first thing he says is there are going to be false messiahs. There's going to be a lot of spiritual deception. And now, and as this age is drawing to a close, the messiahs are increasing all the time. There's people walking around saying they're Jesus. And the Jews are going to believe the Antichrist because they think that Jesus was a false messiah. Wow. So, we know Jesus was the Messiah. Amen? But there are some people that think that he was false. And they're looking for a Messiah. That's why they're going to fall for him when he comes in the last days. That's why the Antichrist is going to reign so strong. So now, Satan is a deceiver. How many knows that? He works through spiritual deception. The Bible says he's the liar and the father of a lie. So spiritual deception today is setting the stage for the greatest deception of the Antichrist and the false prophet. I'm getting so tired. I see it more and more all the time. These stickers, not just bumper stickers, but on the back of people's windows and other places coexist. And they want to make Jesus one of many gods. They want Jesus to be lined up with Buddha and Jesus to be lined up with all these other false messiahs. When Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he is the Messiah. There's nobody can take his place. Jesus is God. But the rest of these guys are trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, and people have to have something tangent in their hands that they can touch and they can feel. And so because of that, you've got Jim Jones. Because of that, you've got Sung Young Moon. Because of that, Marshall Applewhite with the Heaven's Gate cult. You've got David Koresh. You've got all these guys because people want to touch and feel and see. And these guys are so full of demonic influence that they can mesmerize you and you not even realize what's going on. So there's false messiahs. There's false messiahs all the time. There's been pages taken out in New York Times. Jesus is here or the Messiah is here. I've even heard them call other people messiahs. I don't want to hear that. Jesus is my Messiah. Amen? Jesus is it. So then there is wars and revolution. All right? How many know that war, so look at it, you got Russia, you've got the Ukraine, he went over and took the Ukraine. What did anybody do about it? Nothing. Just don't rattle the cage. And so now he's going to go take Georgia. He's going to take whatever he wants because he knows that we're not going to stand up to him. We're just going to talk our way out of this. You can't talk your way out of this. Amen? Somebody's got to stand up. You see, war is not a new thing. And since World War I was a different war than the rest of the wars. And the reason it was a different war than the rest of the wars is because it's called World War. Not Civil War, not Spanish-American War, not the British War, not the Revolutionary War. This is called World War I and World War II and global terrorism. Why is it called World War? Because now, because of all the way we can talk to each other, in just a matter of hours, nuclear bombs can be shot to all parts of the earth. And in a matter of hours, this whole place can be decimated. Amen? Because now we have all these world powers, and we all connect, and we all talk. You see, there's wars and conflicts. This is just a few. I just want to show you a few right now. Iraq has lasted longer and cost more than anyone imagined. Russia's expanding its borders. It's going to invade Georgia. It's going to, or into Georgia, and flex its muscles. The rise of North Korea, Iran, China. Many nations either possess or seek nuclear weapons. Militant Islamic nations are armed with nuclear weapons. Biochemical warfare is now a standard part of military arsenals. There's a war on terrorism. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, Hezbollah. You got Lone Rangers. You've got copycats. You got guys that will go in. And even here, you say, well, that don't happen over here. There's people over here at job sites that had their head cut off. And as their head was being cut off, they screamed praise to Allah. Tell me it's not happening here. Amen? So there's wars and there's revolutions or rumors of war. And of course, rumor means that's all you hear. That's all we hear, isn't it? We're always hearing about somebody's getting a feather ruffled and somebody's ready to push a button. And then there's ecological and cosmic disturbances, earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, fearful events and great signs from heaven. You see, Joel saw this. And he talks about it in Joel chapter 2. He says, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, yet for his camp is very great, for he is strong that uttereth the word, or executeth the word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? That's going to happen at the end of the 7 years. You see, and today what we hear about, global warming, the greenhouse effect, wow, an increase in earthquakes. I was riding on that big old bridge 17, talking to my wife on the telephone. She was in Greenville. And she said, do you feel that? This whole building's got a little shake to it. Y'all remember that? Where was the earthquake at? There was an earthquake up in Maryland, between Maryland and down this way. And we felt it all the way here. And I was on that great old big bridge. But that bridge already had a little sway anyway, so I didn't really feel it. But it's amazing how we felt it all the way down here. You know, there's ecological disturbances, the population explosion. You know, there's 6 billion people, over 6 billion people. And because we have so many people, there's a scarcity of resources. And try to see a doctor. We're talking about it today. Try to see a doctor. You go to see a doctor, and you have to wait. There was one lady told me last week, it was. Who was it? Somebody was telling me about they were going to go see a doctor, and the doctor said it would be, just today I heard about somebody had to wait until August to see a doctor. Somebody else told me that they were going to have to wait until September, and they told the doctor they would be dead by the time they saw them. And so they went ahead and done something. But I'm here to tell you something. It's crazy what's going on, the droughts and the wars that's happening around us. This is happening now, and it's going to be even more intense when Jesus comes back at the rapture. And then, here you go. How many remember that scene? All those guys being beheaded. Why did the Bible say that the Antichrist was going to behead people for not taking his mark, by not doing what he said? Okay, that's happening all over the world today. And if we don't think so, it's even being broadcast. What does it take to wake us up? We can sleep. We can look and say, it won't happen here. It's already happening here. And it's going to start happening on a greater scale here. We've had all this stuff going on lately, even amongst our own self, with shooting, police shooting and or being shot. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We've got to look out, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wins by division. It's not a matter of way to get rid of division is to put Jesus back in the center. Amen? So, intensified persecution. The history of the church is soaked. I mean soaked with the blood of martyrs. But do you know that more Christians have died in the 20th century than any other point in history? You think, well, maybe back when Christ was coming along and after he died, that's when the most died. No, more died in the last century. Wow. Christians are being imprisoned in China, in India, in Islamic nations. Sometimes people are being imprisoned for having a gospel tract on them. Wow. Having a Bible on them. They're being imprisoned for telling somebody about the name of Jesus. During the tribulation, people will come to salvation and many will face death because of it. If I won't do it now and feel the joy of faith, what makes you think I'm going to do it when it's in the tribulation and I've got the pressure on me that I'm going to die if I say yes? Here, the Holy Spirit is poured out. In the tribulation, the Holy Spirit is going to be in sprinkles. Now's the time. So, whatever suffering we may endure, and we honestly, we suffer, we do, all of us do. We've all got problems. We got maybe have health problems or sick folks or something of that nature. But how many in here has ever had a blade put to your neck and said, denounce Jesus, I'm taking off your head? How many is here, you know, I thought about the thing, I said, I can do that easy. Well, maybe if they put it to my neck, well, what if they took my children out or my grandchildren and took them out and said, oh, we're going to cut their head off if you don't deny Jesus. Wow. What you going to do? Well, remember now, whatever suffering you may endure, always count it an honor. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happen to you, but rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be made glad also with exceeding joy, and you being reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. Here's the biggest one I've seen in the United States of America, and that is spiritual apostasy. Yes, I want that picture just stop right there. Following people right off the hill. It don't matter. I can do whatever I want and everything will be fine. I don't have to give Jesus my best. I'll give him my leftovers. It don't matter. It don't matter if I'm holding a standard. It don't matter if I plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is just one of many ways to get there. People are following this and they're falling off the cliff. And the sad part is people are going right behind them. Falling off the cliff with me. When I saw that picture, it gripped my heart so hard. And I said, Lord, don't let me be one of those. And if I see somebody in front of me jumping off, then my mom used to always say, my mama's favorite saying, well, if Andy jumped off the cliff, would you jump off the cliff too? Andy's one of my friends. Or if Johnny jumped off, would you jump off too? Well, you know what? I hope that I can see if somebody's jumping off and I can rescue as many as I can from going off that edge. Amen? You see, Christ challenges to stand firm, and it contrasts with those who fall away. The Bible clearly says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. That word falling away does not mean necessarily that they're not going to be here in body. That word falling away means to break contract. So what it means is you may be here in body, but you're not here in spirit. Wow. There's people all over the place that are serving God in body, but not in spirit. And it's dangerous. It's a dangerous place to be when you see this happening. We have to watch. We have to maintain, he says, watch and be ready, because your adversary is a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. We need to be sober and vigilant. That word sober means not to be intoxicated. It's not talking about alcohol. It's not being intoxicated by the doctrines of this world, like Chrislam and things of that nature. They're trying to pull everybody together. You know that's what's going to be the major religion, is Chrislam. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says the Antichrist is going to have two crowns. In order to have two crowns, then here's what's going to happen. One crown is going to be Islam. The other crown is going to be Christianity. In a way that they can coexist. The only way they can coexist is you have to take the deity of Christ away. Islam believes that Jesus is a prophet of God. Islam believes that Jesus is a great prophet of God, but that he is not the Son of God, and that he is not the Messiah, and that he is not the Savior of the world. And so a lot of people this day and time are starting to water down the gospel to the point that they don't want to offend anybody, and so they don't talk about the blood of Jesus. And to keep on, there's going to be a time where Jesus' deity is going to be denied. And all you got to do for Islam and for Christianity to dwell together is take away the deity of Christ. And that is happening in our midst as we speak. So, here we go. A sifting of the church is going to take place. Jesus said he'd separate the goats from the sheep. He's going to separate the true believers from those who profess a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They don't really have that faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But you know what? If you're a true believer, you're promised persevering power. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to stand firm to the end. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. God's going to take care of you. Amen? Let's go on. I'm moving on. Y'all looking like y'all ready for me to move on, so I'm going to move on. What's the focal point of the world today? Geographic focal point of the world. Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem is a major part, a major player in the entire everything. Because Jerusalem is the center of Judaism. Jerusalem is the center of Christianity. And Jerusalem is the center of Islam. And so because you got them right there, you got all these three major places here, the Dome of the Rock, you've got the temple, and you've got the empty tomb is right there. And so everybody's trying to fight. Not everybody. The Crusades were fought over years ago. The Crusades were fought because Christianity was trying to keep Islam from taking over Jerusalem. And then it was even spoken of now by somebody, I won't mention his name, that what Islam's doing to us today is like the same thing, and that we should just be quiet. Wow. So watch this. This passage has a dual application. First, it refers to the Roman invasion of Jerusalem in AD 70. Titus and his army, they invaded the holy city, destroyed the temple, and there was not a stone left unturned, just like Jesus said. But it's also talking about an invasion by the Antichrist. The Antichrist invades Jerusalem, and he sets up in the temple, and he actually does the abomination of desolation. He sacrifices a pig on the altar of God. Then the Jews are going to understand, we blew it. This is not the Messiah. This is the Antichrist. This is not the Messiah. And they're going to start turning toward God, and they're going to turn toward Jesus. What about now? The Jerusalem focus. Watch this. Jerusalem is the center of Judaism, Christianity, Islam. Islam wants it and is willing to destroy Israel to possess it. Israel is hated by the Islamic nations, and eventually they're going to move in to destroy them. I've heard it said by Iraq that we can take out that problem. Listen carefully. We can take out the problem of Israel with one firestorm. What is that? It's a nuclear blast. We can take them out. I keep hearing how they're bad, how Israel's bad, how Israel is awful, how Israel's caused so many things. But you know what? They're having a hard time getting in there to get it because they have a missile shield. And they stop things from coming in. And even when they're being bombed now and their civilians are being killed, it's not as bad as it would be because Israel has their missile shield around them. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says in Ezekiel 38, 39, it starts talking about when Iraq and all these guys go over and jump on Israel, it says that God's going to take care of them. Going to take them out of here. You see, God's got a people. I don't know about you, but I'm one of them. How about you? Let me just tell you a little something. Let me just throw something in here. This is a freebie. Israel is his people. They were born his people. We are adopted. There's a difference in being born and being adopted. I got DC and Daniel. I didn't have any choice. I couldn't say I want boys that can play music. I want one tall, one short. I want baseball players. I want football players. I want this. I want that. I got what I got. Thank God for them. They're not even here. Well, I thank God for what I got, but I had no choice. But Bethany, I chose her. DC and Daniel were born with the Linton name. You can take that in 50 cent and buy a drink. But Bethany, I chose her. DC and Daniel, they weren't, but they could be accidents. So a woman gets, I've heard people get pregnant and say, I sure didn't see that coming. Or saying, I sure don't want them right now. We don't need them right now, but we've got to do the best we can. I've even had people come in my office or even gone to the hospital and visit people there and said, I just can't handle it. They got to go. I'm talking about before they're born. But Bethany was a choice. I reached out and did everything I needed to do and then some, because she was a choice. Let me tell you something. The next time the devil tells you you're an accident or you're a mess up or you're no good, or everything you can think of is wrong with you because God can't use you, remember something, we're adopted. And because we're adopted, let me tell you something, Jesus went out and looked for us special. And he found us. And he went to all the courts, just like it did with Bethany. He went to all the courts. He went through the cross. He paid the ultimate price and said, these are my adopted children, and you're not going to take them away, Satan. They did something special with Bethany because Bethany was in such bad shape and had been abused so bad that when I got a chance to adopt her, the same lawyers that were trying to take her out of the home for the other stuff were my lawyers that got her in my home. And the judge got us in his chambers, and when she was declared a Linton, it was really awesome. He made a little ceremony and put her on his lap. She was 5 years old. And then he looked at me and said, Mr. Linton, let me tell you something. You may get mad at your boys and you may disown them. He said, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no way you can ever disown Bethany. He said, because you adopted her, she's yours. So the next time the devil tells you he's going to rip you out of God's hands, you go, no, I'm adopted. I've already sat in the king's chambers. I've already sat in the judge's chamber. And he said that he's mine and I'm his. And Satan, do what you want. Not a hair on my head can you touch without God knowing about it. Amen? So here we go. I'm almost through. Almost. All right. Fly away. Global evangelism. Today, the opportunity for global evangelism is a reality. I remember I was a little bitty boy, and I saw what they were trying to do with the little bitty boy. Saw how they were trying to reach the world, and it had changed a lot since my granddaddy was a baby or child. But now, wow. You know, y'all might not realize this. Y'all got to understand something. Do you know it's a good possibility that every last one of you that are in here, listen carefully, it's a good opportunity, a good chance, a good opportunity that every last one of you that are in here, if Eddie ever takes that camera, do you know that you can be seen all over the world? Our praise and worship, our services are broadcast all over the world. Ireland can see it. Iraq can see it. Israel can see it. Australia can see it. All they got to do is call it up. They can be calling up and say, I want to see church services. And say, I want to see American church services. I want to see rural church services. And eventually they'll come along and they'll say, every Christian church, there's some wild-looking people. Let me see what's going on there. Global evangelism. You think, well, just him up there taking that thing is not a big deal? It's a big deal because we can be seen all over. Think about that next time you're in here and you ain't combed your hair. Ha, Yeah, Stephen's fixing his two or three right now. My father-in-law is like Stephen, and my father-in-law tells, then he tells Linda, says, yeah, I went and got my hair cut, and Linda says, which one? Okay. Even after the rapture, when the Holy Spirit is moved to the side, and all hell's broke loose, and the church is taken out, there's still going to be a chance for people to be redeemed on earth during that 7 years. There's 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and they're going to tell about Jesus. And they're going to be telling people, and they're going to help them to find their way. So now, here it is. I'm closing. Boom. How should these signs affect us? Here's what Jesus said. He gave three. What he said was, during this time, if you look at verse 26, he said, men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming on. What is the number one killer of people? The heart attacks, of course, the heart problems. You know, in that situation. But what is one of the major things people get? What's Greenville known for right now? Hearts. They got a great big heart center. What amazes me is they got this great big heart center and tells you in there to eat right. And they got McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Greasy Chicken, and all those things around them. I think they're all kind of working together. We'll send them to you. You just send us some kickback, okay? And he says, well, how are we supposed to respond? Here it is. Number one, awareness when you see these things. The greatest danger, and I do mean the greatest danger to the church today, is complacency. We see it happening around us, or maybe not even see it. I've got kinfolk just recently said, I said, you better get ready because look what's coming. They go, oh, it's been happening. I've been hearing it all my life. And I said, well, have you seen the Middle East? In as much conflict as it is now, they've been fighting all their life. I said, but do you see them with nuclear weapons? And do you see them talking about now they've got all the oil and now they're trying to come over here and do all this stuff and now they're starting to attack and got all these sails all everywhere. We're not World War I, World War II, Vietnam War. We attacked nations and we kept nations all of us, off of us, and now we're not attacking nations. We have got actually global terrorism. And it doesn't have to have a nation involved. It's kind of like shooting in the dark. I put you in the dark room, turn the lights, I give you a gun, give you one bullet or two, and I say, now there's 50 of them coming at you. Do something. The greatest danger the church faces is we're so busy with my four and no more that we're forgetting what's actually happening around us. You know, it's not impossible, and I don't mean to scare you, but it's not impossible that 10 men dressed and draped in black with machine guns could run over here and say, if you love Jesus, if he's your Savior, let us know, and we'll take you out. There was a church in New York, a big old church. Some guys came in to rob it, and they were all dressed in black. They came in to rob it, and they said, put your hands up, and they had machine guns, and they robbed them. And they said, everybody that's not willing to die for Jesus, leave now. A couple of the extra pastors, the assistant pastors, they left. Some of the choir members, they left. Some of the ministers, people in the church got up and left. And when they did, the man turned and looked and said, okay, now the hypocrites are gone. Y'all have church. The signs. Stay awake. Stay alert. There's two truths here. The first truth is we ought to be ready for his return at any moment. The second one is we ought to be prepared to be faithful and persevere even if he delays longer than we expect. Be ready and stay ready. Wow. Then finally, be ready. Be aware.
Anticipate. Anticipate.
When you see these things, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Our attitudes for life, toward life and toward the signs, should be stand up, not slouch over in discouragement, not draw back in fear, but stand up. You know, that's why I make it a habit when I'm around people talking about the end times and how it scares them, especially my family members. I always get them to say, especially my family members, "Oh, it's looking bad. I wonder what's going to happen. What's going to happen to us?" And I go, "Praise God!" Of course, they're hard to think I'm crazy. And they say, "Why are you praising God?" I say, "Because that means I'm getting renewed. I ain't going to be here for all that mess. I'm going to be gone. When Jesus calls me, call me gone." Amen? And then finally, and I am closing this time. Assurance. When you see these things, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. And then it says a little further down, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. They will endure forever." See, I don't have to fear when I look at the future, because I know who holds the future. He's already told me. I can set my life by His word. I see it. I know what I understand. And I see when He says things are going to happen, there comes a time when I may get a little shaky. There comes a time where I may want to stand to the side. There's times where I might even lose hope. But overall, I know I can trust Him. I just thought this was right awesome right here. I wanted y'all to see this. The odds of winning the lottery. How many has won the major, biggest prize of the lottery in here? The quadrillion, whatever you call that thing. Look at all the hands. Somebody come to me the other day and said, "I just won $3. I said, "Cool, how many tickets did you buy?" They said, "We bought $3 tickets and $2 $10 tickets and blah, 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 blah." And I said, "So you spent $35 winning three." I said, next I want you to go to that claw machine. The only person I ever know in my entire life that can beat that claw machine sitting back there, his name is Rand. If you want anything from the claw machine, give it to him. He will get them for you on one quarter. He's a monster with it. We went to a place several months ago, and all the kids kept running up with toys in their hand, stuffed animals. I said, "Where y'all getting all these stuffed animals?" They said, "Rand." Look out there, and they give him a quarter, you pop it in and bring him an animal. Look in, pop in a quarter and bring him an animal. Amen. Other than him, the odds of you spending $50 to get a little old animal. So look, 1 in 259 million. Ha! I want to win that Powerball! The odds of winning that big old Powerball is 1 in 259 million. I like those odds. Here's another good one. The odds of a man fulfilling 8 prophecies. The odds of a man fulfilling 8 prophecies in the Old Testament. Talking about Jesus going to the cross and what He did. The odds of Him fulfilling 8 is 100,000 trillion. Wow. And Jesus fulfilled every one of them. And the Bible tries, people try to tell you the Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. The Bible's always been talking about it, blah, 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 blah. Just remember this. That was the very first prophecy of Jesus was in Genesis 3:15. And it went all the way through to Malachi. And when it got through to Malachi, there was all kinds of prophecies, hundreds of prophecies about Jesus, thousands of prophecies about the world, and hundreds about Jesus in His life, and then more after His death. And He fulfilled every one of them. There's one more He's getting ready to fulfill. He's coming back on the cloud.
and he's going to come back for us. Wow. He's going to take us away. BJ, y'all guys come here and play something, please. I want everybody to stand. Jesus loves us so much. He loves us so much that he's willing. Matter of fact, I sent out a mighty army one day that said, you don't think you're worth anything? Jesus thinks I'm to die for. Jesus already carried the heavy part. Daniel come driving up with an air compressor or AC unit in the back of his truck the other night. I said, Daniel, there's a storm coming. It came in about 10 minutes anyway. I said, there's a storm coming. We better get out of your truck. He said, well, come on, help me, Dad. And that rascal, years ago, he wouldn't have done this. As we started to turn it, as I went up to pick it up, he said, hold on just a minute. And he had his hands this way, and he yanked it this way. And he said, now grab it. And I picked it up, and I said, you rascal, you grabbed the compressor in. Years ago, he'd have left it to me. But he said, Daddy, I got this. So I grabbed the light side, which was still heavy, but he had the compressor in. And when he did that, and I thought about, oh, look at the gift my son just gave me. And then I thought about a bigger gift his son gave us. He's done carried the heavy in. Now it's up to us. Are you ready? Are you ready? Used to, when I heard talk about Jesus coming back, it used to scare me to death until I got saved and I got ready. And after life really had just beat me, and I just got so tired of life and said, God, whatever it takes, just make me what you want. And then I got to the point where I said, Lord, you know what? It'd be cool if you come back today. And that's how I feel. Well, if you come back today, there's things I want to do. There's things I want to see. There's things I've never got a chance to experience. I'd love to. But I don't want any of that to stand in the way of you coming and taking me back. Take me. I'm ready. Take me, Lord. That's been in my prayer. I would say, Lord, if today's your day, even so, Lord, come quickly. Everybody bow your head. Bow your head. Close your eyes. There's nobody looking. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm just going to ask. Are you ready? If today was today, if today was the night before Jesus came, what would you be thinking about tomorrow? Would you be rejoicing around the throne? Or would you be crying around this altar and saying, God, I didn't take it seriously? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you're not sure you would even go into rapture if it should take place, there's nobody looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. You don't even have to come up here. Would you just raise that hand and say, pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm even ready. If he was to come back today, I'm not even sure that I would go. Here's what we're going to do. All of us together, we're going to pray a prayer of rededication before we do anything else. All of us together, repeat after me, Lord, I love you, and I want to be ready. And to make sure that I haven't allowed attitudes or actions to get in my way, I repent right now of known and unknown sin. And Lord, I rededicate my life wholly and honestly before you right now. Father, if you should come today,
I'm ready. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap. Now, if you have any other needs, the altars are open. If you have another need, a need for your body, a need for whatever, you just want to thank him, the altars are open. Come on, all that will, come on up here. Everything will be fine. God's in control. We thank him. We thank him. We thank him. We thank him. Thank you, Lord. If you got a prayer for anything, come on up. Come on, it's fine. God is in control. We trust him. We trust him. We trust him. We trust him. We trust him, and we know that he's got everything. Everything.